So when they were saying that I was there the previous week for an appointment, if that decision-making had meant that I split into two lives and one poor person didn't get the right treatment, she would have been there when they thought they saw me.
Right, and so it could have been your other self who's still with Ken.
I don't know. That part had me baffled because they don't look anything alike, but I thought this is too weird.
Well, that's great.
Well, what Bob is saying is the Wendy that is still with Ken made the appointment the week before.
Yeah, and
I get that, but I was thinking that, remember when I couldn't make the decision and I said, oh, just slap a cast on it, don't do the right thing, then maybe I split into two and the other person took that route, but she wouldn't have been with Ken because, you know, that was years ago. So I don't know what that means.
Yeah, so you're assuming that you and you were still the same person with Ed.
Yes,
yes.
Yeah.
Different decisions, you know, and how did it involve other
worlds? Yeah, but I can't hear you, Carolyn.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It's the mute effect.
Okay, what were you saying?
Yeah, so you're assuming that when you split your decision, then you split who you are now. But what really happened was you allowed part of you to become another one of you who was still with Ken.
Could be, but even back then, though, I wasn't blonde. I've only been blonde for about 8 years, so. Yeah, it's really weird. But like Ion said, there's way more than double, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Anybody got anything else to say about it?
Yeah, Wendy, because you came to my world, too. Which double was that?
Well, let's hope it was a nice one. I don't know.
So poor Hillary missed Ion.
Oh, yeah.
Bob, did you and Carolyn know that Ion was going to surprise us like that?
Yes. No, we knew Ion. He said the other day he would try to engage the show because it just helps my image, right? He supports me. I mean, what a great way to make this a special 5 days. It's so appropriate. So Ion said that he would probably come in, told us the other day at some point. Didn't know when.
It's so funny because we would always say, what if Ion shows up? What if Ion shows up? Ion did show up.
Yeah. Might even show up again.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, is that Ginny?
No, it's Allison.
Hey, Allison, did you miss all that?
No, I got it all. I actually called in and I waved, but it didn't matter. I was so enjoying listening.
Right. You were there when Ion, were you in listening when Ion started, or you got word about it and came in?
No, I was listening when he started, and I quickly sent a text to Sheila. Like, just as right, and Ginny's going, what? I love the disbelief factor. That was so true.
I heard Ginny going,
I actually came in at the end of Hillary.
You came in at the end of Hillary. Yeah, she's an Allison. She was channeling you.
I don't think I like that, but I'll take it. I just have a quick thing to say before you go on. You know what's so great about Ion coming on right now? Everybody's going to listen the entire time.
Yeah.
Waiting for the next moment.
Yeah, I'm not getting off the phone anymore. I'm going to do everything I can to stay awake now.
That's right. Why come in the fourth day? Come in now. Perfect timing, you know, and just have everybody hanging for the next 4 or 5 days.
And you know what I was going to ask? Yeah. I was hoping, Bob, can you ask if I don't, I know you probably won't do this. You'll be like, you got to listen, Allison. But remember how Dave, Diane was going to interfere in Dave's work life. He has a new secret project. I think I'd mentioned this before. And I was going to ask Diane, is the secret project the interference? And Dave was listening with us, so it would have been great. But
he would. He was on the line. He was on the line listening, Diane.
I had the computer. Jesse's visiting, so we're all in the kitchen, and I had the computer on, and I left them listening to you guys, and I went out to feed the horses with my cell phone, waiting with my waving hand.
Good. So you could have. Why didn't? I mean, I kept disconnecting. You know, unmuting everybody. You didn't get an opportunity.
You know, I was out doing stuff, and I knew it would be noisy, so I had it muted, and then I was waiting, and just as I was hoping you would say, oh, who else wants to talk? I was like, and we are complete. We are nicely complete. And I'm like, okay, well, then I am too.
Right.
Because I can always talk to them.
Right. Well, I think you should have jumped in earlier. But it would have been good to get Dave.
Yeah, I know.
If he said something to Dave, that would have been good.
Yeah. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, everyone. That was all I had to say.
All right. Anybody else want to say anything? Ginny, what do you think of this, Ginny?
Hey, Bob. Go ahead.
Yes, two women spoke. So, Ginny, speak for a minute.
Go ahead, Ginny. This is Lynn. I thought I was muted because I kept saying something and I wasn't being heard, so, wow. I just got off of a run and I missed Ion.
Oh, my God. You just came in?
I just came in from a run up in the forest. I'm driving back, and I went, I got to check in on Bob, and I heard this comment that I missed Ion. I'm like, oh, no.
Well, you get to hear the recording. It doesn't matter. You might not have, you know, the recording is all that. You'll hear it. You'll experience it.
I thought about taking my headset and running the whole time in the forest and talking to you. Oh, that'd be kind of cool. Cool. Great. Okay, I'll listen
to it. Right. So, yeah, Ginny, what's happening?
Oh, I was just going to say I was so shocked and blown away. It was absolutely so great. And I am so thrilled that I responded just the way that I did because it was funny after I heard Ion's voice and then I'm sitting there going, questions, and I've been asking myself this question, what are the questions that I ask in my next session? And I remember sending you an email and saying, hey, I have questions about the Labyrinth painting, and that's the only thing I could come up with because when you get into this place of knowing, your questions get answered all the time.
Yeah.
So I was just like, oh, questions, what's the question? And I'm like, no, I'm, you know, so I just like, can't talk about the Labyrinth painting or whatever, but I mean, oh, it was awesome. So awesome.
What did you just say there in the fast voice? Did you say a question?
When I was thinking about questions, the only thing I could remember was that I had sent you the email saying, let's ask about the Labyrinth painting.
Right, but then just a minute ago, you went to speed up voice. What was that? What were you saying there?
That speeded up voice. I said, let's talk about the Labyrinth painting.
Oh, okay, just repeating it. And you couldn't, why didn't you say it?
I did. I said, let Ion talk about the Labyrinth painting.
Oh, that's, and we did. We did.
And then you were looking at the Ascension painting, exactly.
Yes, that's right. I don't think I heard you say Labyrinth, or maybe I can't tell the difference or something, but I thought he was talking about the throne painting. That's right.
No, I
what
was
do I
talking
fucking
about
know?
The Labyrinth. Yeah, because that's all I could think of.
Yeah, did Sheila
were you sending?
And then it was cute when Greg immediately, because Greg is my partner in disbelief, because he's like, all right, Ion, if it's really me, what color panties am I wearing? And it's Ion's like, oh, you started wearing panties now? That's Ion!
Right.
Ion knows every single detail of your life. And I mean, that's the thing that, you know, you understand if you've done a lot of sessions and stuff. I mean, I remember one time I was in a session with Ion, and I was walking through the living room, and I went to grab the banister that goes from the kitchen to the sunken den. And Ion said, now that banister's loose. You're going to want to tighten that up.
Now,
somebody has background noise.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I'm cutting it off and trying to get it. I got a few of them. There's a few people don't understand that they shouldn't have the thing on. But we've got 26 callers. Carolyn says the word is foundational garments, Ginny.
Oh, yes, that's right, foundational garments.
That's
what he said. Yep. So it was very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. And
were you thinking?
Did Legend get a question in?
Did what?
Yeah.
Did Legend, you got, what did you ask, Legend? Well, you asked about something coming in the future.
Man, I asked if the manna was coming.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was a good question. Yeah, the bread of life.
I mean, these drops are incredible. I can just imagine what the manna is going to be.
Right. So what do you think of that? What do you think of Ion, Legend?
Absolutely, incredibly awesome.
Yeah.
At the right after pro time.
You know, actually, you notice he kind of, well, this JW was kind of blissed out and almost giggly. I don't hear that Ion too often. It was a bit of a different Ion. It could have been a different JW. I would say that's JW number one. Or
yeah,
that's what it felt like to me.
Yeah.
Yes, it sounded like, you know, indulging in brown party liquor all afternoon, watching a football game, kind of, oh, I am here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's either the super relaxed number one or number three who likes to joke. And yeah. He was in a bit of a giggly joke mood. But
there was also the last Ion in there because, and I got a sense of that when I asked my question, because he was very short and to the point on a lot of things and not going to repeat.
Yeah.
You know, the first Ion, we spent laborious hours with us asking the same crap over and over again and looking at it from different perspectives and angles, but it's like, okay, we've already said this.
Yeah.
Here it is, just keep doing it. That was more the last
JW. You mean number four or five? Four or five.
Yeah, towards in like fall of 2011.
Yeah, the blunt Ion.
So it's like both one and five is kind of what I sense.
Yeah.
The gentle nature, the understanding, the patience, but at the same time, we're just not going to go back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all there. And he answered that clearly when I asked about, you know, why he got, and I couldn't even think of how to form the questions without the degrees of separation, which is wouldn't be the way I would think I would respond at all at this point.
Yeah, remember the old standard way is, what factors am I not considering?
Mm-hmm.
No. Are there factors, not what factors? There factors I'm not considering?
Leave the butt out, yeah.
So, Michael Brown, are you still here?
Hey, Bob.
Yes, Madeline.
Yeah, I think I want to explain my question because it could be good for people to know.
Yeah, go ahead.
My dad had a massive stroke, and he's dying. Or at least he's in the deciding place, and it looks he's probably not coming back. But we're giving him the drops, and Ion said that they are helping him. And he's someone who had not been on the drops before, so this is the first time he's getting them is while he is transitioning, and they're helping him. So.
Yeah, they're taking away the pain.
Yeah.
Are they helping him transition?
I think, yeah, I'm guessing if that's what he wants to do, they probably are.
Yeah, you're giving him a comfortable transition if he's determined to go.
Didn't he say it was muting the pain? He did say pain after the word muting, right?
Yes,
said,
it was.
Yeah, he said it's muting the pain, and my sister is the one giving them to him, and she said that he gets pretty agitated, and when she puts the drops on him, he calms down.
Yeah. Have you breathed on him much, Madeline, in the last 6 months?
I haven't seen him.
Right. And is your sister taking the drops?
Yes, she is.
See, because if he's getting that breath on him, he may want to check out.
Why do you say that?
Well, the drops change the vibration in the family, and he's an old fuddy-duddy, and he's not going to like it. He's not going to change. And so you've killed him with the drops, you and your sister.
He wanted to check out anyway. He's one of those guys who was waiting for a disease to blame the body.
Right. And I'm saying it got sped up by the drops.
Yeah.
Right. What I'm interesting, I'm just listening off to the side, and I'll ignore the fact that, you know, your father's in a level or degree of pain at this point. But our visual bias of death is, you know, that it's difficult and it's tough. And the Evergreens, from the very beginning, said that birth is way far traumatic to the entity than death is. Death, easiest thing in the world.
What is far more traumatic? I didn't hear.
Birth.
Birth. Oh, God, yeah, I believe that after birthing.
Then death is. So I'm just listening, you know, to this conversation off to the side, and we all think, you know, that, again, disregarding his pain, that death is a difficult situation or hurtful or whatever, you know.
Right.
Well, there's humiliation going on. He never, you know, I mean, he's surrounded by people seeing him in a really vulnerable state, and which he would not appreciate at all. So I imagine that the drops can lubricate some of that, too, for him.
Yeah.
Yep. I've seen my dad in the same situation, so I know exactly what you speak of.
Yeah.
Hey, Greg, I think I figured out why Ian showed up. He talked about all this degree of separation. He can't stand the Evergreens. He just had to fucking damp down the effect of the Evergreens.
Good for you, Bob. That's right. There you go.
That's it. The competition showed up, and he was not going to have it.
Oh, you're so fucking bad.
Yeah.
I think we all owe Carolyn a huge debt of gratitude. Because without her organization and going, okay, one at a time,
that's
I don't
right.
think we would have
Bob
gone.
Bob Ian is back online. I just unmuted him for you.
Oh, that fucking
guy. Oh, wow.
That fucking guy is back. Shit. My fucking show, Bill. Will you stop this?
Oh, my God.
Where is he? Okay, where is that? He'll be down at the bottom, right? Oh, yeah. He's open. It's not even on. Did you unmute it, Bill? Okay. How you doing, Ion? Welcome back, Ion.
Ion, Greg here. Hello.
Is he speaking?
Hello, Ion.
Oh, there he is. Hello, Ion. You know what he's doing? He's doing an anomaly. The little red thing is happening, and no sound is coming out.
Oh, wait.
He dropped off. He dropped off.
Okay.
I think he
came
maybe,
back when you he, talked about the evergreens.
Yeah, the evergreens. That's right.
Evergreens, yeah. The next that's thing when Ion's not here, the evergreens. Yeah, Bob.
Yeah.
Let's play more evergreens.
Yes.
No, Ion's coming back in to correct all our statements, like on the rewrite, when we would talk for a half hour when they weren't there.
Right. Yeah.
And then he'd come in and say, no, Greg, this is this and this is that, and this didn't happen and that didn't happen, and you got this. Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's going to correct all of our statements now.
That's right. He was appalled.
He was appalled, and he's convinced he's not doing any more private sessions now. What's going on with all these degrees of separation? That's right.
That's right. He thinks I'm awful. He cannot handle me in charge.
Well, he gets on and he hears you saying, we don't want to talk to Ion.
Cliches, nothing but cliches.
He's taking over my show. Bill, get rid of him. So he left.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did swear. I guess I drove him off.
Yeah. So we can
pass. Well, he said, your words create.
Yeah. I said, welcome Ion very hypocritically, didn't I?
Yeah.
So, what should we do now?
Yeah, now we're just going to sit around waiting for Ion to come back.
Ruin the show. Oh.
Yeah, it's like pass me a cigarette and I'll just bask in the glow, you know?
Yeah. Everybody's come their wad their cum, whatever the phrase is. And
that's right.
What was that?
Bobby wanted you to share.
Lynn's addressing you, Carolyn.
Yeah, I missed that, Lynn.
Have you been up all night, too?
No. I had my 6 hours, but I did get up twice in the middle of the night. Just to, I mean, I don't know why, because Bob stays up all night anyway, but I think I'm his coach or something. So
she was worried, so she never gets up in the middle of the night. She gets up twice.
Well, I was up a lot last night, too, so I should have called in, because maybe I was thinking of you guys in my sleep or something.
Right.
Did Shan Chad ever come in?
Who?
That's when I dropped off. Was his name Sanchez around midnight Eastern time?
No, he never came. He never came.
Oh, okay.
That we know of.
It's good that...
Evan was good?
Yes, Evan was really good. We went through the Kennedy assassination stuff with her. Well, the first part, and I'm sort of hoping she'll come back soon. And,
she's here now, Bob.
Oh, did she just arrive? Evan.
Well, I mean, Bill's like the Wizard of Oz. Whatever you said. Well, Ion's on now. Evan's on now. Behind the curtain.
I don't see Evan's number. Where are you, Evan? So you're going to, speak, Evan.
Hello.
Hello, Evan.
Hey.
Did you hear what happened,
Evan? Hi, all beauties. Oh, I'm sorry. I was not supposed to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, darling. No, beauties is okay, not darling.
And so, yeah, I'm just, once again, of course, on the freeways of Los Angeles, but you guys have taken me into another state here, listening in for the last 20 minutes. It's been splendid.
You don't know what happened, Evan.
No, I've been trying to put the pieces of the mosaic together from you guys talking about Ion popping in and everything.
Yeah, Ion came in about an hour ago.
And what did he come to say?
He came to take questions and to deflate the evergreens.
Well, if there's anybody that's going to deflate the evergreens,
it's
forget about it.
Yeah,
let it be Ion.
Oh,
tremendous.
Okay. We're one of the $26, dude.
Say that again? Dude, what? All about the dollars? What did he say?
Why who was repeat? That?
Yeah. Was that fuckface? Kiggy?
I thought it was Greg's voice, but I wasn't sure.
No, it didn't sound like Greg. Who's Terry at area code 208? That's a new name. No, that's Deb. It has Deb's last name.
Deb in Idaho?
I think so. Got Deb's last name, not her first name. Leon, how come you didn't say anything, Leon?
Is everybody unmuted?
No, yeah, they're all unmuted.
Hello?
Yeah, Leon, why didn't you ask Guy on anything?
Well, I noticed all the girls were asking questions. I'll allow them to answer their questions, and they were been patiently waiting for this moment to happen, so I was like, allow them to have the opportunity to ask their questions.
Yeah, all the uncontrollable, hysterical Beatle fan kind of girls, yes, they all were fucking hysterical.
I guess that's what Hillary's
talking about. That's what Hillary's talking about. There is a difference between men and women, and she insisted on it.
Well, I led the question, so it was like, okay, girls.
Yes, yes. You were Shania Twain. Let's go, girls. We're getting on her. What's the lyrics? We're going out tonight. Ion's in town.
Well, that was awesome. I was just totally shocked at first. I was like, is it real, or is it one of these recordings? Like, I heard all this
is
stuff
Bob
last
magic?
Night, thought it was live, and... Or,
hey, Bob,
you know.
Look at the control board, because I think Brian's trying to call in, and he doesn't want to be on mute.
Yes. Brian, did you hear what happened? Brian?
Yes.
Did you hear what happened?
No, I just heard that Ion was on.
Yes, Ion came in to prop me up, to help hike up the ratings.
So how long was he on?
Half an hour, probably.
So, okay, so what'd you get into?
Didn't keep your cool. They fucking fainted. They fell over. Jimmy freaked out. A couple are fucking gone. Got their meds. They went on their meds.
You mean to tell me that the fucking women took over and all they wanted to know is where their man was?
That's right. They all want to get fucked.
Oh, my God.
Fuck me,
We've advanced. No one asked the man question.
Yeah, that's right.
And I was in fine form, Brian. I kept insulting Ion all the way through. Told him to go fuck himself. Said his answers were
too many. Yeah, it's Bob Fawlty. Bob brought him in and then ran him out.
Brian,
actually,
I asked about you. And
what?
All hell broke loose.
Wait, who asked? You asked about Brian? Is that what you're saying?
Wendy.
Yeah, you asked about Brian. That's right.
Right, and then all the weird sounds and stuff came
That's
through.
Right, Brian. You caused fucking weird UFO noises when your name came up.
Yeah,
Brian.
And there's a weird sound now. Probably his truck. Are you in your truck?
Yeah. That's air coming through the phone.
Should be that bad.
Look at the new person, Alexander.
Actually, let me say, Brian, Greg's son, Austin, asked a question about how far was he, Austin, from his throne. So,
Ryan said 2.5 worlds.
Yeah. So the ion interaction started at 9:16 Hawaii time, so that's 11:16 a.m. Pacific.
Well, how do you see that? Where do you see that, Carol?
On my clock.
Oh, you noticed at the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was on earlier, but I think, who was it? What was her name? There was somebody, I think
Hillary,
you were getting interviewed.
Hillary.
That's right. So then I just went to the archives, and I was listening to the archives, and then Jenny called.
See, you should have fucking listened. You couldn't take Hillary. You should have put up with it and stayed with us.
Yeah, he'll be back.
What did you guys think of Hillary's position that there's man and there's woman and never the twain shall meet? Did you guys get that? What do you think of that?
We should get her to interact with Kiki.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. Yeah.
Well, she wouldn't take it very long. I was very gentle with her, and she almost...
You were.
She was ready to fly off the handle. She did fly off the handle slightly, right when.
So what do you got going on here, Bob? You got a harem going on, don't you, Bob? That's what I'm hearing.
No, Ion has a harem going on.
That's where it's going. I said Ion come in because you had a harem.
Yes, that's right.
Hey, Bob.
Listening to your interview, or not your interview, discussion with this woman. I'm sorry, what was her name again?
Hillary.
I have never heard such a voluminous and well-presented cacophony of mental masturbation in 5 years.
Yeah, she's better than Ginny.
So
she's better than Ginny.
Yes, she is. I've never heard so much disconnection from a person in my life. You know, if someone thinks that they have to work from a position of synchronicity, they're denying that everything in this fucking world is synchronistic.
Right.
Oh, I turn on my synchronistic switch now. Oh, I turn on my little heart switch now. Now I turn it off. Oh, I turn on my little feminine, I got a pussy switch now.
Yep.
I mean, wonderful. She's talking to the 99%ers. Lovely person. I don't mean it meanly, but my God, what a bunch of crap.
Well, it's all based on the page. She's literate, hyped up literacy.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The part of the interview that I heard was you went through your, well, not all of them, but you was going through your holy offices. Have you heard of this one? Have you heard of that one?
Yeah.
Man, she struck out. I was like, what the fuck? She hadn't heard of none of them. I was like, well, where the hell has she been?
I didn't think she stopped talking long enough to hear any of the Bob's answers.
That's right.
It was like, blah, 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 and I got annoyed, but
I noticed when I heard her radio show a month or so ago, she went on with her guests. She's an over-talker and not really listening. She has her things to say, And she did that with me. She just went on and on.
Yeah, but you handled it, I thought, very well. I sent Jenny a text. I said, I think Bob handled that extremely well. And you were gentle, but you stuck to the point. And
eventually said the point that would shock her, you know. I eventually got it out at the end, some kind of point. But, you know, it'll be interesting. Round two, if I get interviewed again, I don't have to be polite. I can go at her, you know, because I'm a guest at her place.
Well, maybe if you come through Alphabet and the Goddess book, you know.
Oh, yeah. I should tell her that one. Good point. That's a good point.
Then she'll think it's about the Goddess.
Yeah.
But the Alphabet and the Goddess shows how the Goddess was undermined by the Alphabet. And, you know, if she doesn't get that basic point, then she, you know, then you keep swirling around in just these platitudes.
Right. You know what she is? She's a combination of Allison and Ginny. That's what she is. She's actually, she's got the macho thing like Allison. She's got the rapid verbiage like Ginny. That's what she is. She's a combination of Allison and Ginny. Auntie Connie, Auntie Carolyn. She's not intuitive like Carolyn.
No. But the content, there's nobody here that has her content. I mean, there's the whole content part of her.
Is what?
Alien to Ion.
Yes. She's into her power.
And
backwards power. She's into her authority.
Okay, yeah.
Did you hear that? She says she takes a stand. She wants to take her stand.
Right. I wanted to mention about the last person she was talking about, the woman who left the media.
Kate.
You know, she was quite impressed by this media person, you know, big credentials, and then she goes, you know, into the flaky world.
Goes local.
And then what's the first thing she does? Writes a book about it.
Yeah.
It's like we're, you know, everybody's so funneled into it. You got to write a book now. You got to get on the media to talk about how bad the media is.
Yeah, they don't recognize the TV body and chip body that's motivating them. It's their hidden ground. They don't recognize it. It's their unconscious.
Right.
Well, and I thought, Bob, that she didn't. I thought what she said was really great when she started to come back with you about, you had described all the technologies and she introduced the idea of the heart. And so you were lacking that perspective, and you said, well, the separation from the head and the heart started with the printing press.
Yeah.
And I don't mind being, associated with her. And she definitely, you know, thought she knew what she was talking about, and to the degree that she hasn't been exposed to any of your materials, she probably is, you know, right on for her peer group. I mean, she's running around at Yale, so I don't think she's a slouch or anything. I just think she's underexposed. She's talking about not wanting to be manipulated by, constructs and environments, but she's totally manipulated by an environment she's not aware of. So I thought you handled her really well, and when she told the story about the woman who had the corporate burnout and the whole feminist thing and whatever, that's what happened to me. That's why I left my corporate job. And what did I do? I went into ministry, to the Bible. You see, fundamental book. I mean, I followed the pattern immaculately.
Yeah.
So, you know, I could relate to what she was saying about the other lady. And, of course, I thought I was being motivated by a purity, too, of getting out of corporate manipulation and feminism and male domination and testosterone and adrenaline and going into something very pure, serving the poor and being in my heart with Jesus. And I didn't realize I was being manipulated by the whole thing. So, you know, to her degree of lack of exposure, everything she said was probably right on for her.
Yeah, she is a robotoid of literacy. You went back to the blank simple page, you know, in the Bible.
Yeah, to retrieve the fundamentalism, which is what she said. And the thing that was so funny was, I realized a couple weeks ago when I was hearing you talk about that in one of the presentations that you were making about when a new technology emerges, you go to retrieve the old technology and keep it in its fundamental position. And what was happening in my job, among other things, was that they were getting ready to automate the entire system. So I must have intuitively, because within a year of my leaving, they automated all the branches. So intuitively, I could sense that technology coming, and I turned away from it and went to retrieve the printing press, which is what I was comfortable with. So, you know, the patterns that you talk about, I've lived them in my own life. She just hasn't been exposed to it and hasn't had enough time to consider how they're really affecting her.
Well, Bob, when you, you're a guest on her show, it would be interesting for you to find out her background, because if she just went into her clairvoyance and... who knows if, whether or not, did she go to university? Is that her Yale background or something?
No, no, she just she visited the Yale to see the Voynich manuscript. It had nothing to do, I don't think she's a university person.
Right.
She may be. Her, you look on her website, you know, she's on Sheet Radio, look at her biography. It's,
right, I saw.
What Bill told me is she's been a consultant to celebrities and that. She's a psychic, you know, an intuitive, and she does the babble. And she did a session on Renee, you know, the regular Renee who's always lurking. She analyzed Renee a couple of days ago, and it was the ultimate bullshit fucking or cliche fucking crap that they all do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
She kind of put me in the mind of like a Sheila Gillette with the Theo thing, except she doesn't name entities like that. She just talks about her own clothes.
Yeah, Theo. Yeah.
Yeah, as though she's acting independently.
See, they're saying English. They're still inside the meanings of English. They haven't gotten out of the literate speech. They do not perceive the new environments, which are not verbal.
Did you even get to love is a force field?
Yeah, I said that a couple times. No, I just said it's not an emotion. I don't think I said love is a force field.
She said, and then she talked about emotion being part of it.
No, it was a very easy interview to do. I've had those arguments thrown at me for 30 fucking years, and it's just the same old robot and same recording, so I have responded, but I kept in my party line.
Well, it is very difficult for people to parachute into this environment where we think we know more than they do, and certainly with the ion information and then with the five-bodied information and all the various holy offices, there's
a whole real university. They're not educated. The synchronicity, to go on about syncing up synchronicity, that's the printed page. That's matching your inner reality with the external reality. It's matching your inner kingdom emotions on a literate level with the outer kingdom. Mm-hmm. It's so visually biased, the whole dogma of synchronicity.
Yeah, there's so many layers that we can use to detach ourselves from any conversation to be able to really hear what's going on.
You see she, whenever she we slightly look like we're syncing up, then she goes into her ideology. Oh, the heart's happening. What's that?
Brian?
That was an echo. Hey, Bob, I want to ask you, I want to go to the evergreens. The only evergreens I heard was the very first one. It was the beginning of the evolution of the universe.
Yeah, matter and spirit, yeah.
So you listening to that session now, what do you think of it?
Well, I think the evergreens are very powerful in their voice. They're eloquent. So I was thinking that people might found this too slow, too simple, but I accepted that.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the content, the premises that they were laying out.
Well, that's my point, is that spirit, they're entities. They don't see the whole picture. I mean, they haven't even found God yet. So it's the entities. It's like Legion's mother who presents this narrative story. They don't get the structural simultaneity that the guff is. So they talked about 2 million years and 10 million years. Now, I thought that way, or at least I would do it with the evergreens. I knew the simultaneity from McLuhan and Phineas Wake, but when you're with the narrative... Okay, so I got to mute everybody. And then we'll put Brian back on.
All participants are now muted.
So I went into narrative mode when I talked to the evergreens, and I got narrative answers because that's my literate part of myself. My quadriphenia has a literate part, and I was asking, when are the dates? When do these things happen? Yeah, Carol?
Oh, no, you can finish your sentence.
Yeah, so I went into the literacy, and as I listened to it again, Brian, the whole ion reality was lurking over it. You know, I'm glad that we experienced ion because that's sort of limited. But I still think it's interesting. Every reality is true. In the linear reality, they are giving interesting statements. They're very good at the linear narrative.
I want to look at entities.
What's Brian think of that, what I just said, Brian?
Oh.
Well, it's an interesting perspective. And that's what I wanted to get was your perspective now, re-listening to it versus having the engagement then. You know, especially after being, you know, all of your engagement with ION, how your perspective, your view would shift.
Yeah, I would say that's 20 years ago. I was not as ascended as I am now back then.
Okay, I want to look at entities versus ION. So can we say that when someone channels entities, they're just channeling the chemical body?
Yes.
Ah, so then when ION is speaking, he's doing all five bodies.
Yeah.
Aha! Now that helps.
That helps, Carolyn.
Yay!
Now she has a nice left hemisphere category.
Yeah! I'm going to write that down.
Right. That's good, yeah.
And everybody's muted, Bob.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Oh, we didn't get the response to everybody, to Carolyn's statement. So I will unmute everybody.
All participants are now unmuted.
Okay.
Brilliant.
So the entities are channeling the chemical body even though they don't have a chemical body? That confused me, Carolyn.
That would be the astral body. The entities are in the astral plane. They are complementary to the chemical body.
Yeah, but what they're channeling is information as we would think of it from a chemical body.
Yeah.
With the middle kingdom type emotions and, I mean, thinking of...
It's from separateness. It's from separateness.
But thinking of legends, the answers legends brother got from the mother, they come across as pretty chemical body, but through an astral presence.
The astral plane is the antidote to the chemical body. It thinks it needs an escape hatch because it thinks it's a chemical body. It doesn't know it's more than a chemical body.
Right.
So the chemical body and the astral body go together as a fallen state.
Okay. But then ION is everything.
Yeah, everything and more.
And more, yeah.
It's the guff structure.
What do you think, Madeline?
Okay, you think it all Madeline?
Well, Madeline commented.
Oh, did she?
Yep.
What'd you say, Madeline?
I was just asking how the chemical body is involved when these entities don't have a chemical body.
When did she ask that point, Carol?
Huh?
When did Madeline speak?
Just quickly as you opened up the...
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
And that's what you were answering, or you already had your question?
Then you brought in the astral body, and we...
And then Madeline, so what's your point, Madeline? You're wondering what?
It didn't seem like a channel could be channeling a chemical body when they didn't have a chemical body. But you...
They go together.
You brought in the astral, and then that makes sense.
Yeah, see, ION operates from the position that physical is merged with non-physical. When you have physical and chemical body, and... non-physical, separate, the astral plane, that's the world of entities and the content of the guff. ION is more than the guff.
Yeah, because look at the chip body, the whole chip body stuff.
So it's a perspective, then. You don't have a chemical body when you're in the astral, but you're still coming from that chemical body perspective.
Yes, because you wanted to escape from your chemical body, which is a limited, literate form that Hillary doesn't see yet. And it has heart, and it has sentiment, and it has consciousness, and all that needs to be relieved from, so they die into the non-physical or the astral plane to get relief from the limitations, the prison of the chemical body. They set up a prison.
But then still communicate from that perspective, I guess.
They stay in
like
it.
Carolyn was saying.
Right, okay. And the chip body, the actual services of the chip body is liberating the prison between the chemical and the astral. That's why the guff can be emptied, because there's a new, vaster space, the chip landscape, that even ION has come forth to play in it. and the entities don't know that.
Aye.
What was that? Aye.
Yeah, so...
Was that Madeline or someone else?
It doesn't matter, Bob.
Yes, it does.
It doesn't.
The entities know that.
What?
The entities know that.
No, they don't.
They know that there's a chip landscape. They're interacting with the chip landscape. They're interacting with the cloud.
They're not.
Ion is, and others.
They'll state that they are, but they can't do it.
How do you know that?
Because Ion does what they can't do.
Nobody knows.
It showed up out of the blue. There wasn't even fucking any JJW. Ion coming in without my authorization, without my invoking it.
Mm. Yeah, but I think there's others in the guff or the mystery landscape that can interact with the cloud.
Let me just say this. The email I got from JW, his home email address, said, Ion is on the line. He requests help to be picked for questioning.
So it wasn't Bill sent that email.
No.
It was Ion sent you an email.
On JW's,
the usual line he uses, JW's email line.
Yeah.
Which he says he doesn't require. On some old talking about, we'll be playing that, the dupes, talking about the dupes in the beginning of it. He doesn't require. Ion does not use email. He just has to send it that way so you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
But what time is that? Is that 9:16?
Yeah. 9:10. It took me 6 minutes to look at it.
So you were just looking at your email, and did you see JW's name, or you just, what did you first see?
I saw his email, and I thought, he's just sending me something, and then it was Ion is on the line.
Right, he's telling you. So Bill didn't warn us. Ion had to tell us that they were there.
Yeah.
What do you think of that, Chad, or Bill, or who we talk, Legend?
Number one.
No, Ion is, I'm not contesting that.
Bob?
What, Bill? Yeah.
Yeah, similar subject, changing it. Your next guest, Katie Thomas, is hanging out. I just unmuted her. She's on here.
Okay, so it's Katie gets to, I will mute everybody, and we will pick, it's a perfect discussion. Well,
all participants are now muted.
Kirk in Red Gutenberg Galaxy, so where is her number? Let me find you, Katie.
Oh, you have to say goodbye to Michael Brown.
Oh, hey, Michael, can you hang out, Michael?
Poor Michael.
He left a long time ago, actually, and she's the very one at the bottom, Virginia.
Yes, there it is. Hello, Miss Handy. Welcome to Iondom.
Are you talking to me, Bob?
I think so. Yes,
hi.
Talking to you.
Hi, I've been listening for a while.
Good.
Like since, I think, noon. So I heard all the Hillary stuff.
Yeah.
And it is interesting because it's like the last time I talked to her, I think, was 3 weeks ago, and that's when I was being pouty and declared that I was never going to look at the stuff.
You mean you know Hillary?
No. I listened to her. I thought she was great. I listened to you two on the phone.
Yes.
I'm just saying that it's interesting because 3 weeks ago I was exactly where she was with this material. Like, I'm so new to it.
Yeah.
But since I had looked at it, and I'm no expert, but I did read some stuff, and I can tell you what I looked at. It was interesting for me to hear you talk to her and say things to her that was fresh in my mind from having looked at McLuhan stuff. Yeah, and so I was kind of, it was like you were talking to me, too, and I could see where you were trying to take her.
Right.
And so that was really interesting.
Yeah, I just said it's very appropriate that you're the next person after her because you read some of the Gutenberg Galaxy or something, right?
I did. I looked at a bunch of different stuff. And is Madeline still around? Is she on the line?
Yeah, they're all here. I put them on mute because it's your hour, but if you request someone to come in, we'll bring them in.
Well, I would love Madeline to come in if she wants to because she's really the first one who, when I was having my snit with Kathy Scholl, pulled out of the conversation, look at this, Katie. You've declared that you're not going to look at any of Bob's stuff, the McLuhan stuff.
Oh, yeah, right.
And how's that working for you? And I was happy, and I responded to her like, you know, Well, I can't remember what I said, and then after I calmed down, I realized that she was right, and then Carolyn had said something to me, too, about the Emerald Tablet, like how I just didn't realize how much this context is really necessary in the whole thing.
See, look at the perfect symmetry. You're having Katie comes in after she hears herself from a month ago.
Right.
Three weeks ago. That's pretty good. So, Madeline can speak. You want to say something, Madeline?
Well, all I will say is that I have been looking forward to your section of this, Katie. I can't wait to hear what you have to talk about now that you've looked into some of this.
Well, will you stay with me on the phone?
Yes, it's scary. It's scary being up here with Bob in the McLuhan office.
Well, it's not really that, but it's like I'm a little bit embarrassed, and the Maui sessions, Maui sessions, I listened to Ginny's to prepare.
Yeah.
And she talks about a time when she started to look at this material and just realized that she was part of something that was, like, so much bigger.
Yeah.
And I had that experience. And then Michael was saying how it's so hard to know how to keep up with all the material. Like, when I looked through that McLuhan on Maui website, I was just like, oh, my God.
Yes.
Like, there is so much here.
You had never seen that kind of content.
Thought about, and it was so interesting. And then I realized that I kind of came to ION through this door, even though I didn't really realize it until Ginny and I did the book review show, and we reviewed Michael Brown's Retrieval of Atom Man, and that really is more of a media ecology plan.
Yeah.
And I loved it when I first read it, and then I remembered when I first talked to you, I had looked at the CBS YouTube of McLuhan talking and thought I kind of got it, but then it just seemed, I don't know if I got overwhelmed or I was afraid that I would, like, look really stupid. I mean, this stuff is so highbrow.
Yeah. Can you speak a little, put your mic closer to your mouth or speak a little louder? You seem faint.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
Yeah, that's a slightly better, yeah.
Okay. Well, I've got my headset on.
Yeah, so just put the mic closer to your mouth or something.
Okay, now it's close to my mouth as it'll go. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. I don't really know where to start with this.
Well, what is Hillary not getting about the effect of visual space in the book that you've read McLuhan on? Can you try to explain what Hillary doesn't get?
Well, I don't think that she gets how the media disturbs the ratio of your senses.
Yeah.
And changes us so much that even though she'd like to think that we could go back to that childlike mind.
That's ridiculous.
The media is just churning and churning and churning against that.
Yeah, the children themselves are not children anymore.
Right, right. And just how, you know, we're just so visual. And what that really means.
It doesn't mean colorful. Color is not visual. Color is tactile. Visual, as McLuhan means, that abstract page, alphabetic imaging in your mind.
Right.
You think in either voices or the alphabet in words. A lot of people have the black and white images from books are in their mind, and that's what they're thinking of. That's visual space. It's an abstract space.
Well, then I realized, too, because I didn't really understand what literacy was. And Ginny did a really good job of talking about that in her discussion with you, too, because she talked about it, how that becomes literal and linear. And so she explained all that. And then I remembered that I had forgotten. But when I lived in Arkansas a couple of years ago, I met two women who were illiterate. And I took that Laubach method to teach people how to learn to read. Do you know what I'm talking about, the each one, teach one?
No, I don't know that.
Well, it's the Laubach method, Frank Laubach. He was a missionary, and this was in, like, 1884. He was also a a Christian and a mystic. He was known as the apostle to the illiterate. And so he went to a remote location in the Philippines, and he developed the Eat One, Teach One literacy program.
Yeah.
And so he imposed an alphabet on an illiterate culture. And then
he imposed the phonetic alphabet or his own new alphabet?
He took the moral language and was able to develop an alphabet for that language and teach it to the people.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then when I was in Arkansas and I met these illiterate women, I took his method and taught these women to read. And I had forgotten that I'd had that experience because it was neat, and then I moved and whatever. But, like, to have had the experience of using a mnemonic device to teach someone a letter and a sound and how it goes with that, like, I realized now in looking at this material that I've actually had that experience. And I think that was kind of cool as I was looking
at it. Well, is the letter, are the letters that he uses non-pictorial, like A, B, C, D, E?
No, they are pictorial. So if you're going to teach someone, and I don't remember how it goes because it's been a couple of years, but like if you're going to teach someone the letter B, there might be a picture of a bird, and then you can see the letter B that's drawn in the bird. So its fat little body would be the ball of the B, and the tail would be the, and then you say a mnemonic device. So you say, here is a B, and it comes right down with the tail, and it goes around. And so you're teaching somebody through almost like a song. You know how it's easier to remember things?
Yeah, you're not teaching the phonetic effect. And I was going to make sure to tell you this. The key point.
Okay, tell me this.
Yeah, the key point in the Gutenberg galaxy, the unique point, is that the phonetic alphabet that the Greeks developed from the Phoenicians, and maybe the Hebrews had some impact in there, is you got A, B, C, D, E. They do not look like anything. All writing in ideogrammic cultures, and they would have the ideogrammic culture of thousands of letters, thousands of pictures for everything, because everything's unique. But when you got Alexander the Great gets 26 letters, they are streamlined, a semiline that absorbs all the nuances of writing systems that have pictures
mm-hmm.
and are individual. So to have a sound, A, B, C, D, A, B, C, D, E, A, B, there's no context for those letters.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the alphabet themselves. So we're talking about the first mental thing. You've got to take abstract letters with abstract sounds that have no natural evocative thing of onomatopoeia going on. So you create this abstract structure, and you've made yourself abstract, internal, mental imagery, which mm-hmm. has no reference point, doesn't look like anything, these letters, and then it's able to absorb all pictorial cultures all around the Middle East. So Alexander the Great went around, and he could take all the different oral semi-writing cultures and make them standardized, fit into the 26 letters, and that homogenization was a traumatic thing. And that's how he could set up a bureaucracy and dominate all the diversities that each oral culture is.
What would the trauma have been like to a person at that time when that was happening?
Well, there'd be the elites would be using it, the generals, the soldiers. The majority of people they did not get affected by the alphabet. And then Greece collapsed, but then Rome came along and added chariots and roads and spread the paper over a wider space. And then they're doing that for like 400 years. That's a slow inculcation of, you know, inculcation, of the alphabetic abstract effect continuously. So it affects the other levels of the elite. Does not affect the people. The average citizen doesn't really get affected by the printing press till like the 1800s. Right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So the people are always oral and pagan and running around, and that's why the Catholic Church doesn't have any doctrine. They just came, the peasants just came and watched the ritual performed, the mass, right? There was no semantic mm-hmm. reading of the content of the Bible. They were doing it as an oral culture. So the Catholics are more oral than the Protestants. Protestantism gets built on the printing press. But back to, this is the point. When you understand the abstract effect of the phonetic alphabet, then you understand the difference McLuhan is saying that the phonetic alphabet is to separate it from all the other cultures, and that creates the unique abstract mind-body split of Western man, European man,
mm-hmm.
the Eurocentric
mm-hmm.
man. And the printing press makes it go all around the world and gives the Western man, European man, the ability to dominate all these innocent oral cultures. Mm-hmm. So you have to understand, he would say, semantically meaningless, A, B, C, D, E, or you go, abacadabra, meaningless, no pictorial, they're not showing a tree. What does A represent? Can you spell A? How do you spell the letter A? So it's this abstract, weird thing visually, and it has a weird, abstract sound. That is very anti-